Well, what makes a person successful in life? Is it lots of money or fame or big property or recognition or cars or travel or what is it? On this Father's Day, we want to open the Bible to the only passage of Scripture where the word success is used. Our Bible text is Joshua chapter 1. We're looking at verses 1 to 9. And I've entitled the sermon, Having Good Success. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So all of a sudden, here is a man that was called to a key leadership position. It was a position that I'm guessing he hadn't applied for, that he hadn't interviewed for, and perhaps that he wasn't looking for. The position came to him. It fell into his lap. Sometimes things come before us that we're not sure about. It reminds me of an opportunity that I had just prior to my call to the church here, in the summer of 1994. I was had the opportunity to serve as executive secretary of a countywide evangelistic campaign in Coshocton County, where we lived. And after Encounter 94, as this particular outreach was referred to, the evangelist Steve Wingfield had asked me about joining his team to do advance work in other communities where churches were coming together and wanting to have a similar kind of cooperative outreach for their particular area. And in many ways, it seemed like an exciting opportunity to be involved in that kind of ministry. I think I could have done a decent job with that kind of thing. And yet, as Diane and I prayed about it, there were some things that gave us pause. And so I ended up saying no to the invitation, feeling that the Lord had not given a green light to proceed. Now, in Joshua's case, there was no question about it being a green light. According to verses 1 and 2, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. And so it was clearly the will of God for Joshua to step up to the plate. It was clearly the will of God that Joshua function not just in the capacity of an assistant, but that he lead the children of Israel now. And I wonder, when's the last time you've been pondering about something, perhaps some kind of change or whatever? Have you been considering a new possibility? If so, make sure that it's the Lord that is directing in all of that, that you're listening to whatever the Lord is saying about the matter. Because the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct or establish your paths. So, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, having said that, I'd like us to think about this matter of having success in what God has called us to. Let's think about four things that tie in with this. So, number one, claim the promise of God's presence. Number two, be strong and of good courage. Number three, don't turn to the right or to the left. And then number four, meditate on the scripture. So, the first one then being to claim the promise of God's presence. Sometimes I wish we'd have a chance to talk to some of these Bible characters, to some of these men and women that we read about in the scriptures, to find out more about what perhaps they were thinking, what was going on in their mind, what were they struggling with in their own hearts and so forth. We're not really told what went through Joshua's mind when he was given this assignment, but I can't help but wonder, you know, did he feel a bit intimidated by the assignment that was before him? You know, he'd been an assistant. Now suddenly the things had changed. Was there any element of concern or trepidation or fear, you know, in thinking about all of that? Regardless of what thoughts were racing through Joshua's mind, regardless of what he was feeling emotionally, the Lord assured Joshua of his presence. So notice again verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I wonder, have you ever felt a bit alone? Perhaps you felt alone because some of your close friends or associates really weren't there for you when you thought they ought to have been there, or you felt that you really needed them. The Apostle Paul shares about a time that he experienced similar to that, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 17. Notice what he's talking about having experienced in the flesh, but then also what he ended up experiencing in light of the Lord and his promise and his presence. 2 Timothy 4, 9, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Christians for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. And Tychius I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Can't forget about the books there, Adam, can we? Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You must also beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But, notice now verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now you would think that there would have been all sorts of people surrounding Paul when he went through a difficult time. But that was not the case, and it's not always the case for you and I as well. Sometimes you and I might feel quite alone, or perhaps quite lonely, given the situation. The point, though, is Paul's testimony in verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Think about that. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. In spite of the circumstances, Christians, you and I, can be assured of God's presence. As it's put in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Shall we say that? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Yes. Yes. Let's not leave that one off. So you may not be called to a leadership position like Joshua was, but there is nevertheless times that you need to step out in faith and claiming the promise of God. And that certainly is a promise from the Lord that he has said that he would never leave nor forsake his people. Secondly, be strong and of good courage. Now, what Joshua was called to here was he wasn't called to just be coaching the neighborhood soccer team or to be in charge of the United Way Foundation, for the fundraiser for the local community, or to direct traffic at the Memorial Day parade. Joshua was given a major responsibility. And you see the scope of that stated here in verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Sometimes it's not just the size of the territory that is suddenly becoming responsible for, or is assigned to, or called to. It may not just be the size of things that gives a person pause, but it may be the newness of it. It may be the fact that we are ill prepared, or we feel ill prepared. Probably the Lord has been preparing us, but we may feel ill-prepared or ill-equipped for it. So, all right, here's a dad. So we picked up our daughter at the hospital when she was 5 days old. And back then, where we lived and served, my study was at the house. So Diane kept on teaching. And so while she was at school, during those hours, I was a Mr. Mom. So, okay, how do we do this? I knew that you were supposed to, put a bib on a baby when you gave the baby the bottle, but somehow it escaped me that you should be putting a bib on the dad or a blanket or something when you fed the baby and burped it, and all of that. I must have overlooked that in the owner's manual, because I just didn't know that. But anyway, so a big learning curve. Now, what was Joshua told here? According to verse 6, the Lord said, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them." And that's repeated in the first part of verse 7, "Be strong and very courageous." So does that mean that guys always need to man up and get on with the program? Or does it mean that we launch out without any hesitation? Or that we always mask anything that doesn't smack of being macho? Or brave, or that we have a can-do attitude no matter what it is that's up or what it is that lies ahead. Well, Joshua was told to be strong and courageous because it was a mission that the Lord was sending him on, and it was actually something that the Lord would bring to pass as Joshua stepped out in faith and in obedience. The Lord said in verse 3, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." So we need to realize that being strong involves more than eating Wheaties in the morning or working out 3 days a week. It involves being strong in the Lord, as the Apostle Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. And by the way, in Ephesians chapter 6, what I'm going to be referring to here actually comes on the heels of comments. There is talk about one's marriage. There's talk about parenting. There's talk about relationship with the boss. And then Paul said in verse 10 of that chapter, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So what about it? Is your marriage always easy? Is raising kids always easy? Is the assignment God gives you always easy? Is your job always easy? Well, of course not. We need the Lord. And we need to put on the full armor of God, to go forth in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and go forth in the power of his might. We're not going to have good success, whether we're a guy or a gal, a man or a woman, if we try to do everything on our own. So, claim the promise of his presence, be strong and of good courage. Thirdly, don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Have you ever gotten lost? Well, I mean, before the days of GPS. I still don't have one of those contraptions. But anyway, you may have had good directions, but you ended up in perhaps, you know, all of a sudden these lanes are veering off in multiple directions, and so you are veered off in this one, and you should have actually been going that way, or whatever the case might be. So you got off track. Years ago, Diane and I, we were in the Midwest, and we were traveling back east, and our plan was for that night to get as far as Diane's parents, my in-laws, who live in northwestern Ohio. Okay, it was late. Just don't ask me how this happened, but all of a sudden I said, "Look at these signs. We're in Michigan instead of going from Indiana to Ohio." Don't ask me how it happened. Okay, got off track. But notice again what was said to Joshua in verse 7. "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all of the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Now that word prosper also carries with it this entire idea of having success or to act wisely. I would have gotten us to our in-laws without being so late that night, having that detour, had I been paying proper attention to the road signs. But what are the road signs? What is the map? What's the GPS for a Christian? Well, it's the Bible, it's the Scriptures. If we want to proceed on the right track, then listen to what was said here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. "Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." In other words, there's the potential of getting off track, isn't there? "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And then notice especially verses 16 and 17 now, "but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." Profitable for what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God has given us his word that we might stay on track, or if we're not on track, that we might get on the right road, on the right track. And to think that we can keep from veering to the right or veering to the left without being shaped by the scriptures is ludicrous. It is. As the psalmist put it, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119. 104 and 105. Joshua was to do all the law which Moses had commanded. Now, what does it mean then to be a man of God or a woman of God? It means that we aren't just hearers of the word, but that we're also doers, to use that phrase from James. And one of the most significant legacies that a father can leave his children, or a grandfather can leave his grandchildren, is to be a man of the word of God. And that leads us to the fourth thing our text calls us to today, which is meditate on the scripture. Meditate on the scripture. Notice again verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, it's interesting, is it not, that the blueprint for success given to Joshua did not involve the filing of a long-range strategic plan in triplicate copy. It did not involve submitting all sorts of proposals and budgeting and talking about investment portfolios and everything along the way here. What Joshua was to focus on was that which would feed his soul. He was to meditate on the scripture, to meditate on the word of the Lord. And that's precisely what is spoken of in Psalm 1. Psalm 1, some of you could quote that for me by heart probably, but it starts out by saying, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." So, where are we getting our cues? What are we thinking about these days? Is it mostly stuff from the Wall Street Journal, or Men's Fitness, or Sports Illustrated, or do you and I continue to soak up and to reflect on the scriptures, the word of the Lord? To flourish as a man of God, to have good success, we claim the promise of God's presence. And that's a wonderful promise. We are reminded to be strong and of good courage, but that strength is actually to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. To not be veering to the right or to the left, but staying on track with God's agenda and his call, and to meditate on the scripture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, and for how you have created us and made us and saved us and called us. Please help us to be your people in the midst of a culture that in so many ways is not on track with your agenda. So please strengthen us, guide us, establish our steps. that we might find purpose and fulfillment in the very things that you have put before us. Lord, help us in our role as fathers and grandfathers or parents and mothers in this challenging task. Forgive us for times of failure. Help us to be people of integrity. Bless all of our families and our households. In Jesus' name, amen.